When we hear about HPV, the conversation often focuses on young women and the risk of cervical cancer. In reality, HPV is a much larger health crisis for women and men, linked to many other diseases that we struggle to talk about openly, like vaginal and penile cancers. But two women in Reno are ready to talk, and their goal is prevention, since there is a vaccine for HPV deemed safe by the CDC. They join Reno Public Radio's Michelle Bliss, and just a quick note, the following interview does contain some adult subject matter.
In order to talk about vaccines in Nevada, we need Heidi Parker. She's executive director for Immunize Nevada, which advocates for the benefits of vaccines. Heidi, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
We should also talk to Abby Whitaker. She's an HPV cancer survivor in Reno. Welcome, Abby.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll start with Heidi first. What is HPV and how common is it?
HPV stands for human papillomavirus, which is a series of viruses actually that are really common in the U.S. The majority of sexually active people at some point in their life have or will have HPV. A lot of those viruses are low risk. Nothing really happens. A certain number cause genital warts. And then others can cause associated cancers. Those cancers range from cervical, which is fairly common, we hear about it often, to lesser known cancers, oral, throat, penile, anal. So lots of other places on our body that we can get cancer and can be devastating.
In your line of work, do you find that, you know, because it's these places of the body that you even hesitated saying the word penile? I mean, is it hard for people to talk about this subject and be educated?
It absolutely is hard to talk about. I think that because it really is an STI, sexually transmitted infection, we don't want to talk about it. We don't talk about sex a lot in this country anyway. So I think then adding this level with potential for cancer and what the infection can cause it makes for a very difficult conversation, but we need to talk about it. People need to acknowledge their experiences with it, tell their stories, and it's only till then, I think, that we're going to increase awareness.
And so let's turn the conversation over to Abby. Before you were diagnosed with cancer, you were diagnosed with HPV. Tell me about that and the progression to cancer.
So I was 21 when I found out that I had HPV, and I had a LEAP procedure where they take away a portion of your cervix. And then honestly, I kind of forgot about it. And then when I was 35, I found out that I had HPV-related cancer and that I was going to have 27 rounds of radiation and about 98 hours of chemo. My radiation would be in 7 places, and it would destroy my ovaries, and I wouldn't be able to have any more children, as well as fighting for my life. So it was pretty impactful.
Do you remember when you got that news?
Well, you know, I remember when I was laying in bed at night and I woke up and I was like, something's wrong with me. And I reached over and I woke up my husband and I'm like, hey, I something's wrong. Like, my body doesn't feel right. I think I have cancer. And he's like, you're crazy. Go back to bed. And then, you know, a few days later, I noticed some symptoms and I'm like, I'm going to go to the doctor. I went to the doctor and he had this weird look on his face when he examined me. And he's like, I need you to come back the next day for some more tests. And that's when they told me that there was a tumor and that I would have to go through radiation and chemo in order to get it to go away.
And how long ago was that?
It was 3.5 years ago.
And you've got a big smile on your face. Where are you in this process?
It's always a little emotional. You know, I think about it every day. When my arm aches because I might have worked out too hard, when my side aches, I think about cancer. I feel like it pops up into my Facebook newsfeed all the time. So it's something that it's never going to go away. I'm always going to get tested. I'm always going to think about it. I don't have any tattoos except the 7 tattoos that are on my body from where they beam the radiation in. So I see those every day when I get dressed. But what it reminds me of more than anything is that there's a way to prevent anybody else from getting this type of cancer. There's a vaccination for HPV. It seems like such a no-brainer to me. So that's why I'm here today, to just make sure people understand that, hey, all of your kids are going to have sex. Everybody. All of us at some point. And most people are going to get HPV. Some people are going to get cancer and some people are going to die. Let's try to decrease that number by embracing this vaccination.
And Heidi, with Immunize Nevada, you know, you've got a cancer survivor in the room with you on the verge of tears talking about the lack of vaccination in our state and our country. How are we doing?
It's dismal. We are way below where we should be. So vaccination rates, we like to see between 80 and 90%. We are nowhere near that.
Right. So in Nevada, less than a third of teenage girls are completing the HPV vaccination series and only 7% of teen boys. Why is that?
I think it is truly because of the association of HPV with sex. Vaccination is recommended at ages 11 and 12 because that is when our teens, our kids have the best immune response. So they're best protected at that age. Also, because of the way HPV virus and the vaccine works, you have to be vaccinated to prevent infection. And if you get vaccinated after you've had sexual contact, after you've been exposed to HPV, it's not going to then prevent that strain, that infection. So we want to vaccinate our kids before they have any type of sexual activity. It is not a green light for our kids to have sex.
A lot of people do argue that the vaccine for HPV is a doorway to promiscuity.
It's a doorway to conversation. In fact, some studies have recently come out where it's actually helping kids make better choices. So the HPV vaccine is requiring us to have that conversation with our kids, which then helps open the door to a conversation that many parents might find difficult. And then we're finding that kids and families that are taking that preventative step, they're more likely to take preventative measures as they grow older. So they're practicing safer sex. They're making safer choices in their relationships.
And Abby, you want to add on to that?
I think that sometimes we're so afraid of being politically correct that we're afraid to talk about this. But if there was a vaccination to prevent breast cancer, wouldn't you give it? If there was a vaccination to prevent lung cancer, wouldn't you take it? Well, HPV can cause lung cancer, throat cancer, penile cancer, cervical cancer. So there is a vaccination to prevent some strains of that. My doctor calls HPV-related cancers the lung cancers of the future. My oncologist, he says that that is where we're going to see the highest rise.
Abby Whitaker, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Heidi Parker from Immunize Nevada, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Reno Public Radio's Michelle Bliss. And one last note on HPV vaccinations. The CDC says they're safe and recommends that children receive them in their preteen years at age 11 or 12.